ask for God's help on this subject. Father, tonight we have a very sensitive subject, and yet a subject that so many of us, Lord God, know of, Lord, and it's so real in our lives or in lives of loved ones or friends, Lord God. We just pray, please, that you would help us to hear what your word is saying tonight, Lord. Father, we believe that Satan is a thief and a liar, and that he's always seeking to rob you of glory and to rob people of the joy of knowing you. We ask, Lord, please, that as we go through this series, that we would expose his lies and his deceit, and people would be set free, Lord, please. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would really speak into people's lives. You know the deepest needs of the souls that have gathered, Lord God, in this place tonight, but also those, Lord God, that have tuned in on Facebook or through the podcast. And we pray tonight that your word would speak right into their deepest need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was called once in my life a kleptomaniac. Now, I have to say, when I was called, I hadn't got a clue what it was, and I thought it was a compliment. It was a big word, after all. A kleptomaniac. Well, I didn't have a clue what that meant. But a kleptomania is a constant urge to steal without regard for need or profit. In other words, these people steal not because it's something that they need or something that they desperately want or that they're going to profit from it. Kleptomaniacs are people who suffer from kleptomania, and they repeatedly end up with things belonging to others that they have borrowed for a long term. Or they borrow from shops or work or other places, but they don't need it. I've only known one true kleptomaniac. I've known stacks of shoplifters, and I could tell stories of incredible shoplifters who, they used to say to me, don't go in and lift a tin of beans, take a trolley in and lift TVs, because the people who are trained are watching for the person sticking the tin of corned beef into their bag, but when you walk out with a 55-inch television, they say nobody has the brass neck to do that. This was a shoplifter that I knew, and you know, we used to talk all the time about this. Kleptomaniacs steal because they get a thrill. In my punk rock days, when I was a member of the Bangor Barmy Army, we used to have a saying that said, what's not mine, I'll have. What's not mine, I'll have, which was basically our unofficial, totally illegal license to steal. So long as we believed in what's not mine, I'll have, that justified us stealing. A kleptomaniac has a mental disorder, or could be argued that they have a demonic problem. But the kleptomaniac has a mental disorder compelling them to steal. God help them, they can't help themselves. Unlike a shoplifter who steals things they want or need, kleptomaniacs steal for the excitement of it, often taking items of absolutely no value to them whatsoever. The late Ken Dodd said, when my kleptomania gets bad, I take something for it. Do you know why you don't tell kleptomaniacs jokes? Because they take things literally. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, said these words, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Lord speaking to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says this, a very, very well-known verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Or as the Northern Ireland version puts it, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It was Jesus who is God become man. So he's the authority here. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's speaking about Satan. And I'll say it again, whether you believe in Satan or not, Satan is real. And Jesus is the authority here, and he is saying that Satan is a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the word thief comes from the Greek word kleptes, which means to steal. And the word kleptomaniac has its origins also in Greek, and it's for the words thief and madness. Kleptomania is thieving madness. Thieving madness. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Greek word used for kill is a word theo, and it means more than just to murder or to put to death. It means to sacrifice. If Satan feels to steal the good things from a person's life, he will convince them to give up, to sacrifice everything they possess simply because he doesn't want them to have them things. Now, let me explain how that works. He doesn't walk up to people and say, offer a sacrifice of all of the good things in your life. But yet many of us can see clearly the examples of the lies of Satan being believed when he tells people to sacrifice everything. And so he will say to the man who's sexually attracted to his neighbor's wife, sacrifice your marriage, sacrifice your children, sacrifice the life that you have as a family and a loving family for the 3 minutes of squelching with your neighbor. And before you know it, he has stolen away the marriage. He has stolen away that family unit. We see it clearly with alcohol and drugs, where people who are consumed by alcohol, Satan said to him, give up everything for it. Give up everything. And people say, I wouldn't. No, I couldn't. And before you know it, they've lost their businesses. They've lost their homes. They've lost their families. And they're living destitute because of drink and drugs. And they've believed the lies of Satan, who said, if I can't steal away the things from your life or steal your life, I will cause you through deception and lies to sacrifice everything, and you will think it's great gain. Satan will lie and tell people the things they give up are not as good as the things that they will gain, or the things they will gain will be greater than what they will lose. Satan can create stressful situations to make a person think their only option is to sacrifice the things they love, even their lives. So a modern example of this lie is the terribly demonstrated suicide bombings. Suicide bombers are people who believe Satan's lies when he convinces them that their sacrifice, killing themselves, will bring them great gain in the world to come. I don't care whether a Muslim, Hindu, or anything else. It is a satanic lie that they are believing. It is always, always a worst case scenario when Satan convinces a person to take their own life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the word destroy from the Greek, it's from a word apolumi, Apollumis suggests something that is ruined, something that is wasted, something that is completely devastated and destroyed. How many of us have watched people or can actually still see people ruining their lives by the lies of the devil, wasting their lives, believing the lies of the devil, devastated lives because of the lies of the devil, lives destroyed because of the lies of the devil. By using this word destroy, Jesus warns people that if the thief, if Satan fails in his attempt, first and foremost, if he fails in his first attempt to steal from them, or secondly, to convince them to sacrifice what they hold dear, he will then try by whatever means to ruin their lives. Cyril and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about some lady who was speaking about rich people. And these were very, very wealthy, wealthy people. And the wee lady says, "Oh, God help them. Sure, all they have is money." And yet people believe the lie of Satan that that's all they need. And they're wasting their lives. They're ruining their lives. Their lives are being destroyed because they believe that life consists of money. Now, I'm not against money. I think it was Woody Allen or somebody said, money can't buy your happiness, but it can make your misery a hell of a lot easier to live with. So I'm not against money. But this is the evil that we're up against. And if we are left to our own devices, not one of us could withstand Satan. Do you hear that? Whether you're a believer or not, if we are left to our own devices, if it wasn't for the grace of God, even the psalmist says, if it wasn't for your grace, where would we be? If it wasn't for the grace of God and we were left to our own devices, not one of us could withstand Satan and his evil schemes. In John chapter 10 and in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, they demonstrate the contrast between what Satan wants to do with a person's life and what God wants to do. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God wants to prosper, give hope, and a future. Which do you want? It's that simple. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. God wants to prosper, give hope, and a future. Watch out. There's a thief about. Is Satan robbing you? Well, the subject tonight is suicide. A very delicate and sensitive subject. But before we get into the delicateness of it, I'll tell you a couple of wee stories. I was walking up Abbey Street, just opposite the bus station one day, when I bumped into a friend of mine, quite a rotund character. And when I saw him, he was wearing a t-shirt and he had both arms with bandages. And he walked up to me and says, "All right, Tally." And I said, "Oh, what about you, so-and-so?" "Oh, I'm not good, I'm not good." I says, "Why not?" "Oh," he says, "I committed suicide last night." So I put my finger into his ginormously fat belly, like that. And he went, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I says, "I'm just making sure here I'm not speaking to a ghost." And he went, "What?" I says, "You said you committed suicide last night. That meant you killed yourself." "Oh," he says, "well, what is it?" I says, "You attempted suicide." "Aye," says, "but he says, couldn't get that right." In England, when I was working, I would ask, would I counsel a guy who was feeling suicidal? I'm not the best person to counsel people because if he says silly things, I burst out laughing. And this guy was explaining how his life was just terrible. And he tried to explain to me how he was feeling and what it made him do. And he said to me, "It got that bad," he said, "I went to a motorway and I climbed over the bridge and I held onto the railings with my hands behind my back, holding on to the railings." He said that I was determined, that's it, I've had enough. I was going to kill myself. And he says, I watched and I watched and I waited and I waited until eventually I saw this massive truck coming 70 miles an hour down the road. And he says, I would time this perfectly so that when I did this, it would hit me and bang, the party over. And he says, no sooner did I let go of the railings than the truck indicated in James Lane. And he broke his kneecap on the tarmac, and he was too embarrassed to tell people that he had tried to commit suicide. And then he tells me on another occasion, he said it was freezing, freezing cold winter night, Baltic. And he says, I was in the house, and he says, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going to kill myself. And he got up out of my bed, he says, dressing gown on, down into the garage. He says, it was Baltic. And he says, so I get in the car, he says, I started the car, and it was all going well. And he says, so I found this hose. And he says, damn thing, he says, would fit onto the exhaust, but wasn't long enough, he says, to fit into the car. He says, searched everywhere. He says, found another hose. And he says, this one, he says, could fit into the car, but wasn't big enough to fit onto the exhaust. He says, oh, the hell with this. He says, I stay here much longer, I'll freeze to death. So and he went back to his bed. Well, of course, telling me, I'm supposed to be counselling him. I was in tears of laughter, laughing, couldn't stop. And his brother had to come into the room and say, what's going on? And I still couldn't stop laughing. This poor man telling me about going to kill himself. Now, although we can joke and say these things, let's be very, very clear. That's a bit of humour of what can go through people's minds and what can happen. But suicide's real, and suicide really does tear people apart. But let me explain something. Satan doesn't give a toss about human feelings. He doesn't care about the broken hearts that are left behind when someone commits suicide. He hopes that maybe that suicide will have a domino effect and will knock on more people committing suicide. He's not the slightest bit interested in human emotion. Do you know, for example, that since the signing of the Belfast Agreement in 1998, when the troubles in that sense were brought to an end, that since the signing of the Belfast Agreement in 1998, more people have committed suicide in Northern Ireland than those who were killed during the entire troubles. More men commit suicide than women. And suicides among young people is increasing on an annual basis. And just as Satan is behind every murder, just as he is behind every evil and sin in this world, so Satan is behind every suicide and every attempted suicide. It is his lies and his deceit that convince people to end their lives by philodicé, which will say on some of the death certificates, philodicé, an act of self-destruction. Satan's thieving madness is about him robbing God of glory and then robbing an individual of their life. And there's no profit in it for Satan. He is a kleptomaniac of people's souls. He is a kleptomaniac of the glory of God. The hideousness of Satan's evil demonstrates his disregard for human beings as God's chief creation. Satan hates God and hates God's most precious creation, us. It's no surprise then that he lies to individuals to end their own lives just to rob God of glory. Just to rob God of glory. That's the wickedness of Satan. To deceitfully convince people to take their own lives simply because he wants to rob God of glory. Well, let me be clear. Behind every suicide and every attempted suicide is a satanic lie. Have you ever thought about committing suicide? Satan was the one that put that lie into your head. Suicide is a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. Suicide is a permanent solution. There's no going back if you do it. It is a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. I need to fly through this. What can make people feel suicidal or drive them to suicide? Nobody's allowed to say your long talks. But what can make people feel suicide or drive them to suicide? Well, there's many reasons why people commit suicide, but I've selected just four, and if you look up in Google, there's loads and loads of reasons, but these are the main four. Depression. There are a number of things that can lead to a person feeling depressed. There's what's called reactive depression, and we all experience that. Something happens in our lives and we react, and it can lead to a depression. And then there's what's called indigenous depression or chemical depression, where a normal depression sinks in and we just can't seem to get out of it, and it can take years and years and years to get freed from that. So there's a number of things that can lead to a person feeling depressed, but within that illness, at all times, the enemy, Satan, is looking for the opportunity to steal away their life, to steal away their ability to live normally. And he works to convince them to sacrifice their life because he says, oh, things are never going to get better and others would be better off without you. These are satanic lies. Not everyone suffering from depression is easily persuaded by the lies of the thief. Many who face this mental illness and the anguish associated with it, they still deep down have a blind will to live, and they don't, thank God, they don't give in to the lies of the devil. You know, we should ask people when they're suffering from depression, have you thought about suicide? Now, that's not thinking, oh, if you say that, you'll put the thought into their head. Trust me, you won't. Ask, because people often who feel suicidal just want someone to ask them that question so that they can get it out in the hope that that will begin to help them. Never be afraid to ask someone who is depressed, have you considered suicide, and then offer to support them, to pray with them, and to help them. The second thing that can make people feel suicidal or drive them to suicide is a flashy word called psychosis. Whatever may be happening in a person's life, I believe no one commits suicide in their right mind. Now, let me make something clear here. I know that there's a big case for euthanasia, where people want to top themselves because they've got, you know, terminal illness and palliative care and stuff may not work, and there may be a lot of other issues there, and they want to go to Switzerland and other places and end their lives. And so, you know, you could say, well, these people are in their right mind doing that. I still think they're believing a lie. However, I'm talking here about people on the whole. On the whole, most people who commit suicide have a form of psychosis. Now, psychosis just means an unreal way of thinking about life. Behind the unreal way of thinking and the suicidal thoughts, Satan operates to make the problems of life seem larger and insurmountable. Even King David, in one of the Psalms, talks about the troubles of my heart have magnified. And that is what Satan does. He comes in as the liar that he is, and he blows our troubles out of all proportion so that we are convinced by his lies that it could never get better. And we have this unreal way of thinking about our problems and about life, and we believe his lies. And when people are vulnerable and when people are anxious, Satan works to increase the pressure. Someone who would be loving, someone who would be caring, someone who would be compassionate would be seeking to alleviate the pressure. But rather, Satan works when people are vulnerable and anxious, and he seeks to increase the pressure, telling them there's no hope of change. There is no hope of change. Satan is a liar. Jesus said he is the father of lies. Suicide is a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. The third reason that can make people feel suicidal or drive them to suicide is impulse. Extremely dangerous. Most people who attempt or are successful in committing suicide do so as a matter of impulse. Few carefully consider it and arrange things, leaving notes, etc. But generally, the majority of suicides happen on impulse, and they're usually linked to alcohol or drug misuse, which assists the person to commit the act on impulse. The drink and the drugs are another lie of Satan to confuse the mind, to increase the psychosis, to make people feel that there's no hope of any change and better. People would be better off without me. And on impulse, they commit suicide. Satan works to rob people of reason. They can't reason things through because he has so magnified the problems in their lives. And he uses impulse. This is how horrible Satan is. He uses impulse to hurry up the act to rob that person of their life. He's sitting there saying to the person, "Oh, for God's sake, hurry up and do it. Oh, for God's sake, hurry up and do it." Think before the brink. Retreat before delete. The fourth reason why people can feel suicidal or can be driven to suicide is a simple cry for help. Many who attempt suicide actually don't want to end their lives. For some, self-harming or attempting suicide is nothing more than a cry for help with the difficulties and the life challenges that they can't cope with on their own. Unfortunately, their attempts to get help in this way can often prove fatal. These people who are making a cry for help, they know the voices in their head urging them to death are not good. And they want to avoid suicide because they too have a blind will to live. But they often go too far in their cry for help, and then it's too late. And once again, the thief robs them of help and of hope. Behind every suicide and attempted suicide is a satanic lie. Well, let me just say tonight, Christians are not exempt from suicide. Don't think because you know Jesus and you can have a charismatic smile on your face and lift your hands up to praise and worship that somehow Satan's not going to try to convince you. Don't think that you're not going to suffer from depression at some time in your life or some form of psychosis. Don't think that the enemy's not going to come with a lie and through impulse try to get you to quickly commit suicide. Oh, for crying out loud, hurry up the act. Don't think that there's not going to be a point in your life where you're just desperately wanting to cry out for help and you might do something but you get it wrong and it goes too far. Christians are not exempt from suicide. We must guard ourselves against the wiles of the thief. We need the Lord to help us to overcome the lies of Satan. If we are left to our own devices, Satan would sift us through. But God has a plan and a purpose for our lives to give us hope and a future. Satan wants to steal that from us or get us to sacrifice the things dear to us, like our fellowship with God. Satan wants to destroy us, to lay waste our walk with God. And too often, Christians walk right into his trap. And one of the first things that he does is said, "Don't go to church." And Christians in their droves buy into his lie. The Christian, however, and this again is my belief of my understanding of the Word of God, the Christian who commits suicide is still a child of God. Unfortunately, they believed the lies of Satan and have been robbed by him. But they are a fatally wounded soldier of Christ. Jesus does not disown his own. He knows those who are his, even if they believe the lies of Satan and commit suicide. Christian, don't believe the lies of Satan. Trust in the truth of God's word. Maybe tonight there's someone here or someone listening in through Facebook or the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. An unbeliever who commits suicide was still a person of great value to God. A unbeliever who commits suicide was still a person of great value to their loved ones. But that person of great value, who unfortunately succumbed to the lies of Satan, has been robbed by him. Do not blame God for suicide. Those unbelievers who commit suicide, they allowed Satan to steal, kill, and destroy their lives. And they have missed out on the plans and the eternal future God had for them. Again, I say it, please don't believe the lies of Satan. He is robbing God, and he's robbing you. If anyone is feeling suicidal, if anyone is considering suicide or has considered suicide and would like to speak to someone, please don't just let it go by. Please speak to someone about it. You can contact us here through Facebook or through our website. You can come along to our services and speak to someone. But please don't believe the lies of Satan when he tells you there is no hope. Because God says, I will give you hope. I will give you a future if you will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how awful, Lord God, Satan is when we just look at some of the lies that he tells. Convincing people, just for the sake of robbing you of glory, convincing the highest of your creation to commit suicide, to end their lives. And Lord, we know suicide is a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. I pray for people tonight, Lord God, when the enemy comes in like a flood against them, Lord God, and magnifies the troubles of their heart, that they would not listen to his lies, that they would not succumb to his deceit, but that they would believe the word of God, that they would believe Jesus. I have come that you might have life, Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Lord, if there's anyone feeling suicidal, anyone contemplating suicide tonight, be it here in this hall or tuned into the hall tonight, I pray that they would listen again to the words of Jesus. There is hope. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. May they believe the words of Jesus and not the lies of Satan. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.